Have you been into a library recently? Well, this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, we are going to speak with three librarians from Lehigh University. I'm John Pierce, your host. Neil Heaver is doing our engineering for us. Lehigh Valley Discourse, as I say, if it's Thursday, 6 p.m., it is Lehigh Valley Discourse. My three guests this evening are going to tell you very much, because I would guess that most folks, if they've been to a library recently, have not been to Special Collections. And we're going to find out what exactly that is. Lois Fisher Black is curator of Special Collections at Lehigh University. Alex Jaffa is digital archivist. And Ilhan Sitak is archives and special collections librarian. Those three titles sound really similar to me. And you three work in close proximity, right?
Yes.
Lois, does it some... Yes. Honesty here. Does it sometimes get too close proximity?
No, we work very well as a team, and we build collections of a significant historical value, and we want to make those collections available to the broadest possible public, and it takes a team to accomplish that, as Alex is responsible for digitizing collections, and that enables us to publish them to the web and enable the public to find us.
Are special collections what we used to call rare books?
Rare books, and also the archives and manuscripts too.
Right.
And records of institutions, businesses, for example, Lehigh University's history. So my main job at Lehigh University is to preserve university's history by finding, locating, and transferring university's historical records, university students, alumni, faculty, staff, offices, and departments.
Ooh, that sounds like a huge job.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Is that a full-time job for you, Ilhan? You be honest with us.
Yeah, I take it to home also. And my sleep says I see Lehigh postcards. Correct.
How about the history of libraries? Now, is it libraries plural over at Lehigh?
Yes.
I have a list here of things I haven't heard of. There's Asa, Chandler, Cox, Bassler, Honeyman. I'm thinking Linderman.
Yes, of course. Our special collections is located in the historic Linderman Library. It was built in 1878 and has a magnificent rotunda. We encourage everyone in the Valley to come see us. In fact, our students still refer to it as the Harry Potter Library.
Do they?
Yes. It inspires visitors.
The three of you took me on a little tour of that, and it's right where the stacks are. The
right.
Stacks going out like spokes, and then this wonderful... dome at the top. It's really, I think, a tourist attraction here in the Lehigh Valley to go in and just see that part of this Linderman Library. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And so you work over near the stacks, right? You're on the third floor. Okay. So what about other libraries? Why do we have so many at Lehigh University? Alex?
Well, there's only two libraries at Lehigh University, Linderman Library and Fairchild Martindale Library, which actually historically was two separate libraries. There was Mart Library built in the 1960s, and then Fairchild Martindale was an addition onto that. So if you ever go into that library, you'll see a very nice kind of glass enclosed, wide open space, and that's actually connecting the two different libraries there. Those other names that you mentioned were either historic Lehigh alumni or donors to the special collections. So, for instance, Honeyman, you mentioned, was a class of 1920 Lehigh alum who donated a significant portion of our current rare book collection. He collected rare English and American, mostly 18th century literature.
Wow. So you still do refer to rare books?
Yes. Rare books are a significant part of special collections. They're still used very frequently in class instruction. We've had English classes come in, astronomy, astrophysics classes come in to interact and see, get firsthand experience with the rare book collection.
Wow, that's a lot of activity going on at Linderman Library over at I often say that here in South Bethlehem, WDIY is in the shadow of Lehigh University. Or would you say it's the opposite? Maybe Lehigh University is in the shadow of WDIY.
Oh,
Elon, you never heard that before.
South Mountain is a little higher than the Flatiron Building.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of libraries, especially in the universities, are cultural and intellectual hubs of the community. So providing both socialization, but the most important portion is to help research and curricular activities. So that's why two libraries were essential and unavoidable.
Well, isn't one of the libraries more scientific?
Yes, correct. The Linderman Library is the arts and humanities library. Fairchild Martindale Library is science and engineering collections.
Right. And so this leads me to the question, why do we even continue to have libraries when everyone goes to the internet now? Lois, what do you say?
Well, our collections are rich in cultural heritage materials, and it's an opportunity for our visitors, our students, faculty, members of the Lehigh community, and beyond, to interact with materials as they were produced centuries ago. And those materials might range from medieval and Renaissance manuscripts all the way through a pin. One of our most unusual items is a pin that was used to construct the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, my goodness. And you have that at the library?
Yes.
And it's a spike?
It's actually a bolt. It looks like an iron bolt.
43 pounds bolt.
Yes.
Do you have it on display all the time, or is it tucked away somewhere?
Well, we've used it to introduce our students to special collections. Back during orientation week this past August, we hosted over 150 first-year students at Lehigh who had the opportunity to try and lift the bolt, lift this bridge pin, and see how much it weighed.
Oh,
and
wow. Well, how much does it weigh?
Yes.
43 pounds.
43 pounds. So some are not able to lift it.
Yes, wow. Someone said actually, you glued it on the table. You are telling us to lift it.
Yes.
Really?
That's funny. Well, that's something I didn't expect to come up in our conversation today was a bolt from the Brooklyn Bridge. But that shows you the variety that you have. And when we talk about the term rare books, well, we're talking specifically books. And when you have special collections, you're doing a wider variety. Do you have some audio material? Do you have CDs in your collection?
Yeah, we do have CDs. We recently acquired sizable amount of collections from another local institution, Godfrey Daniels. They had a variety of different media, some open reel tapes, kind of reel to reel, cassette tapes, were called digital audio tapes or DATs, and CDs for the more recent material. We also collect, born digital. What's called born digital material that's either on hard drives or CDs or DVDs from different departments or, from performances and that kind of material.
Do you have anything visual? Do you have films or?
We have films from, I believe, some of the earliest films I was able to locate from 1934 graduation. It's about 5 minutes, but it is actually it's very touchy because you see these buildings, and in front of the buildings, people don't exist anymore, but the buildings are there. And the part of the our whole ceremony is to show the show is going on the campus.
Yes,
and
right.
People come and go, but the institution is there to do the good work.
Interesting, yes. And, of course, that's in black and white, right?
Correct, yes.
And that's the oldest of the films that you have?
About Lehigh University.
Okay.
We have older films, probably, but this is typically depicting the campus and the graduation ceremony.
Yeah. Many things going on with special collections at Lehigh University. That's our topic this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm glad you decided to join us because it's an interesting conversation here with librarians that we usually don't see. If I walk into Linderman Library, I'm not likely to head right up to the third floor. So I would probably be in circulation and seeing what's happening mostly on a main floor of a library, but I would have to make the effort to go up to the third floor. Now, are you folks open? Suppose we have listeners who would like to go up and take a look at special collections. Is it open to the public?
Oh, yes. Yes, we're open to the public, but we encourage folks to contact us in advance. The majority of our collections are stored off-site. Of course, Linderman Library is prime real estate on Lehigh's campus. So we present our reading room and our exhibitions, and we can tell you a bit more about our exhibits that are in very public spaces throughout Linderman. Okay. But we would encourage you to come in the afternoons to visit us on weekdays. Otherwise, we're available by email, by telephone.
All right.
And we encourage
let's contact. Let's give an email address.
Yes. Our email is INSPC, for INSPEC, at lehigh.edu.
And all right. And how about the phone number?
Our phone number is area code 610-758-4506.
And there's a real person to answer that phone.
Yes.
There's a real person. I love that. Yes. Instead of going through a menu, huh?
Press one, press two, no.
Yes, right. No, no, and then when you get to number seven, that's the one that you really needed.
Yes.
Good for you all for having a real person to answer.
Yes.
So the special collections at Lehigh University, rare book collection. Did you talk enough about that, Alex, or do we have more to say about rare books?
Well, I guess what I would just say, you asked before also about why libraries are still important when in the age of the internet. And I think this relates to rare books in that, you know, there's an amazing amount of material freely available on the internet through the Internet Archive, through individual library websites like ours. But all of that great content has to come from somewhere. And a lot of times that comes from libraries. And also once it's been digitized, once it's made available on Wikipedia or whatever resource you choose to use, you know, it's still important to preserve the physical material going forwards. A lot of our collections have existed for, you know, hundreds of years, and we know at least paper material will continue to exist for hundreds of more years, whereas digital material, it exists today, you can see it today, but it's long-term future is much more in question or likely to change going forward, given how rapidly technology advances.
So you're saying just the technology itself of digitization is questionable, how modern it's going to seem 10 or 20 years from now, what you're doing over at the university. Do you see in the future that possibility of what you're doing by digitizing things could be changed in such a way that in the future they would say, well, this is really old technology, we need to redo this and just have the whole thing redone?
I think that the standards of quality that we use now are designed to be kind of future-proof, to provide value going forwards. But already in the past 10 years, you know, on cameras, the megapixel count has increased drastically. You know, the quality of colors, the quality of lighting can all change. So we take that now into account when we digitize something, that in the future, better software might exist, better cameras might exist. But the standards we use today are designed to be long-lasting.
Because we are maybe in, you know, Lehigh Valley, in a small community here, our practices are always in concert with the industry as well as our field, too. So we always know what Library of Congress is doing, National Archives is doing, British Library, or other federations of European libraries and world libraries, too. So luckily, nobody's alone right now,
yes,
as long as we want to get some help. But the best practices are always applied in every single public education as well as our daily opening and closing the building too.
And Alex, I imagine as a digitizer of this group, you go to conferences where they talk about techniques and technology and what's coming along and what to look for.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive how much variety in technology there is. I mean, even within our own collection, we have probably four different types of scanners to scan different types of material. So hearing from different institutions, some using older hardware, some who have brand new hardware that's, you know, cutting edge. It's very interesting to see how that changes people's practices. But we do try to get together at conferences and come to an agreement about, you know, what the best practice, the best way to do things is.
Right. Let's go to a topic of that you put down here for me, odds and ends. Items shown in 5x10. What does that mean, Lois? Oh.
Well, we've mentioned our bridge pin, which we use as a segue into our civil engineering collections. Once the student's attention is grabbed by this enormous iron bolt, we can use that to open the conversation about some of our rare books and manuscripts. And included amongst them might be an invitation issued to the opening day ceremonies of the Brooklyn Bridge. It might include bridge plans or a manuscript version of the Assistant Engineer's Journal of Construction of the New Harlem River Bridge, and that was constructed from 1861 to 1862. So the students see all formats. You've heard that Special Collections encompasses rare books and manuscripts and archives, and we have this opportunity to reach our first-year students when they've just arrived on campus. We show them literary collections such as Sherlock Holmes. We have Jane Austen materials, as well as some historic maps dating from the 17th through the 19th centuries. And we always ask our students to show us on the map where they're from. And depending upon the map, they might have some difficulty. For example, we have an 18th century map of Pennsylvania that only shows three counties.
Uh-huh.
So we have Philadelphia County, Bucks County, which fades away often to the western frontier at that time. And I believe it may be Northampton County. So that always engages students with our historic materials. But we also explain to them how everything that they're looking at is handmade. The type had to be set, plates had to be engraved, ink was made from local natural ingredients. There were very little commercial materials available to them at that time. So paper was handmade, books were bound by hand. As I explained to our students, who always are surprised how labor-intensive these processes were, I tell them, no TV, no internet.
So yes. As somebody said the other day, how do you have time? There was somebody who does book reviews and said, how do you have time to do all this reading? He just reads everything that's out there. He says, I don't have a girlfriend, and I don't watch television. So television is a big component there.
Yes.
When we come back from our break, we're going to talk more about what's going on with Special Collections at Lehigh University and what you all will see in the future as we're coming along. And again, we'll remind listeners how they can get in touch with you if they would like to go over and explore a little bit, which I think is fascinating to do. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm John Pierce, your host. Glad to have you along this evening. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Many Choices and Real Voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
My guests this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse are Lois Fisher Black, curator of special collections at Lehigh University, and her two colleagues, Ilhan Sitak, archives and special collections librarian, and Alex Jaffa, digital archivist. We were talking about odds and ends. So what is this 5x10, Ilan? What does that mean?
The first-year students at Lehigh, they are supposed to do 5 intellectual, academic, or social events that are on their list in first 10 weeks so that they can earn some privilege to register for the courses next semester early.
That's interesting.
So one of the recommended way to do that is special collections is on creative curiosity. So the students go to, for example, the art galleries, Lehigh University art galleries, and they come to us to special collections. We have full day open house, and they come, and we, I believe, hosted more than 150 students. And they come, we have 5-6 different stations. In these stations, they are introduced to different formats, different items from special collections to connect them in with Lehigh as well as their intellectual journey at Lehigh University. So we are giving examples usually. Our whole idea is connecting researchers and users with the collections. So, for example, the bridge pin from Brooklyn Bridge is what we call is like primary source material, can tell a lot of stories. And whatever you want to learn, if your grandfather worked there, and he may have touched that, so that gives you some sort of emotional aspect also. So what I show, I have a little table also. In my table, I have different audiovisual formats, VHS tapes. So every year we ask, what do you know? What looks familiar?
And
so
the students are asking, what's VHS, right?
Exactly. Well, not everybody, but starting last year, none of the students were able to tell what a little slide was, a transparency. So we were telling them, well, do you know what slide presentation is? Yes. Do you know what slide is? Well, this is a slide. And
wow.
One of my favorites in the collection, we have 26 pieces of Sumerian tablets.
These are Sumerian
tablets, yes. Wow. They are 4,000 years old.
Wow.
And we introduced them as to students. Do you know what's the oldest written item in our collection? They said, like 500 years old. No, they are here. They're 4,000 years old. Sumerian tablets. They are cuneiform. They are basically clay, and there are marks on them, and they are kilned, and now they are hard rock, and they survived. They are true survivors. They are from a city called Ur, and which the city doesn't exist now, but these recordings are there.
And is this something that you could hold in your hand?
We don't recommend touching, but they can come as close as like an inch or so.
Because they are objects. They're not just a digitization of objects.
Yes. So we call teaching objects, and books are teaching objects too. Lois can talk about that more. So these are all about having an opportunity, teaching moment, to telling them that they will remember. Believe it or not, they usually never forget those tablets.
Interesting.
They come 50th reunion. I won't be there. I know. But there's. Well, I know. I remember. I was in this room and I saw Sumerian tablets.
That's great stuff.
Yes.
And Lois, what about the books?
Well, we have a remarkable book collection that dates from the 1450s. In fact, we have a leaf from the earliest book printed in the Western world, and it is from the Gutenberg Bible.
Oh, wow. Is it in German?
No, Latin.
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 Of course.
In fact.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
They hadn't modernized yet to the vulgar languages, right?
No, but we do have other texts that might be of interest to students. I think all of our students have studied Euclid at one time or another with Introduction to Geometry, and we have probably several dozen editions of Euclid dating from the 15th century all the way up through artistic renderings in the 20th century. So it's a chance for students to study the history of the book, comparing editions of a known text. They can review translations. We have earliest text in Latin, early translations from the 16th century brought the text into English and other languages. And it's a chance for students to study typography, to study bookmaking in general. As mentioned previously, all type was hand-set, paper was handmade, books were bound according to the taste of the purchaser, and students are able to handle these materials, an experience that they might not have at any other point in their life. So we encourage them to come in, and we're presently hosting students from an English class on early modern English poetry. And students are able to compare their published textbook, whether it's a Penguin or Norton edition, even their online editions of books, to our first editions in special collections. So they see texts from the late 17th century and early 18th century.
All right. Yes. Are these books that the students can actually touch and turn pages and so on?
Yes. We encourage.
All right. You encourage it, but it's a rare book. It's something you have to take care of.
Yes.
You're not checking them out frequently, right? To go to dorm rooms.
But books are very durable because we tell this to them. This book is printed in 1500s, and it's still here. So this is the proof. They are very durable under the special circumstances, of course, climate control, safety and security. So our job is truly to provide access to the users to see these, have the experience, as well as making sure 100 years later, people will have still the same opportunity. So safety and security comes from there, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is there, so you've told us about these five projects that the first-year students have to do within 10 weeks of the first. One word that you mentioned, Ilhan, was, along with the intellectual, was socialization. What do they have to do for that? Do they have to go to a beer party or what?
Oh, no, no. You mean in the libraries?
Well, in the 5x10.
5x10, social events. I believe, I'm not really 100% sure clearly what they are doing, but the events usually to aim to have some sort of campus experience, learning from the peers, learning from each other. So we know the education is not going and sitting at the lecture and listening to lecture and becoming a big person, getting a diploma from Lehigh. So over the years, it's, I guess, proven and understood that students are learning from each other, learning from the peers, and having a campus experience. And all these events are aimed to that. I believe they can go to a drama, for example, play, or listen to a lecture, and all these have different kind of impact on their experience at Lehigh.
Yeah, some of the, I mean, so we do other 5x10s ourselves. We had one somewhat recently called a transcribe-a-thon, where students learn how to read original handwriting from historical figures and transcribe that, write it into plain computer text so that other people can search it and find it and use text that's otherwise inaccessible. But every department on Lehigh's campus can propose one of these 5x10s, and as long as there's some either academic or social value to it, have it be part of this program. The libraries in the past have also hosted a 5x10 that was a tour of a forest on South Mountain. So it was basically a agricultural project from a environmental science professor that got forgotten about and overgrown over the decades since it was originally planted. So we kind of rediscovered where this test forest was, and then had people from the library and people from the environmental sciences department take students on a tour of that. So it's not necessarily socialization, but it's not sitting in the classroom getting a lecture either.
Right. And I like this word socialization, to get back to it from the very beginning when I asked the question, why do we even have libraries anymore? Part of that is socialization, huh? Let me just tell the listeners that the three people who are sitting here at the table with me today from Lehigh University are not little old women who have their hair pulled back in a bun with a pencil on their ear and a date stamp in one hand. That's my idea of a librarian, Ilhan. You don't look like that.
That's right. Stereotypes. That's true.
This is not your grandfather's library, let me tell you. What can we say about local history collections, university archives? 150th, is that the anniversary of the founding of Lehigh University?
Lehigh University celebrated its 150th anniversary in 2015-2016 academic year. We were a very big part of that celebration, tried to tell the story right by Lehigh's history, because the idea was learning from past and creating vision for the present. And we provided photographs, recordings, and archives, and other types of support for the university events and other types of activities.
So, and that was 2015.
2015 and 2016, correct.
What, Alex, what would you say about old items in the collection and newest technology to deliver and provide access? That seems like your bailiwick, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you've mentioned that, or we've all mentioned that the library is there to preserve material to ensure that future generations have access to the same, you know, important resources that we have now. But if you live in another country, in another state, you can't get to Lehigh to actually get your hands on these amazing collections. So through not just digitization, but building digital exhibits and other digital projects, we're really trying to make this material as easily available as possible, that it's there free of charge. It doesn't cost anything. You know, you just have to punch a couple words in your search engine of choice, and, you know, hopefully our collections will be right there at your fingertips. So it's really just about making it as easy, simple to access our collections as possible.
That's a great point that not everybody can. I say those of us who live close enough to Lehigh University go over and see special collections, but lots of people, even in our listening area, consider themselves too far away to make a trip to Lehigh University, and so it wouldn't work for them. Whereas with digital expertise, you can make that available to them.
Yeah, I mean, we have regular exhibits we put on to kind of display our collection to the public. But again, if you can't make it to the physical building, then you can't see the exhibit as it originally was. But we create online exhibits that go back to, I believe, 2003, 2004, every exhibit we've put on, and you can see it as it, not exactly as it was, but a very close approximation to the original exhibit, how it was organized, what materials were on display, pictures of those materials, links to the entire digitized book, if it's available online and out of copyright. Then you can get the whole experience without ever having to leave your house.
So this is a big part of what you do in the library.
Yeah.
One of our largest, actually highest profile projects for the last 2 years has been a collaborative venture with 15 partners in and around the Philadelphia to digitize over 159,000 pages of medieval and Renaissance manuscripts.
Whoa.
And we're able to accomplish this thanks to a $500,000 grant from the Council on Library and Information Resources. So Lehigh is serving as host institution along with the Free Library of Philadelphia and the University of Pennsylvania. And we have worked with a local digitization vendor, Backstage Library Works, to ensure that we have the sharpest and most the highest quality of digital images.
And that's a great point, too, that your library working with others, because this is very, very common nowadays. So let's talk a little bit about Paxil Grants, South Bethlehem Collection. What can we say about those?
Well, the grant that I've just described was awarded to Lehigh and, as mentioned, 15 partners who are all Paxil institutions. And Paxil is the Philadelphia Area Consortium of Special Collections Libraries. And through that partnership, that collaborative venture, we are able to build upon our strengths and secure funding. And it has helped us accomplish more than we would be able to do on our own. Digitization of these manuscripts, which date from the 12th century to the 16th century, requires specialized equipment and expertise that we don't necessarily have at Lehigh. We can't all be medievalists, after all.
Right.
So once we have these collections digitized, then they're available to the world.
And so, this is really just the most recent in a long line of past grant projects that Lehigh has been involved in, whether it's been digitizing engineering diaries or processing and making available for research other engineering-related collections. You know, this is just the most recent example of that interinstitutional collaboration.
Lois, you mentioned medieval manuscripts, which interests me a lot. If I were to look on what you have put together for the public, would I be seeing a facsimile of the a copy, I guess I'm saying, on a screen of the manuscript itself, or would it be somebody typed in, transcribed?
Photographs of the manuscripts themselves. And Lehigh's manuscripts are both religious and secular. We have alchemical texts, astronomical. We have texts of Spanish laws, as well as Portolan charts, which are maritime navigation maps dating from the 15th century.
Lots of interesting things.
Yeah, it's our hope that by making these materials available in that facsimile photographic form, that some other user researcher will come along and do some of that important transcribing work to make it available. You know, there's only so much work that we can do ourselves, and we hope that the scholarly community or the public will help us in making it more available and more understandable.
It's time for us to take another break. Lehigh Valley Discourse, I'm John Pierce. Neil Heaver is our engineer this evening, and I'm speaking with three librarians from Lehigh University. We'll be back in just a moment.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
My guests this evening, Lois Fisher-Black and Ilhan Sitak and Alex Jaffa, are librarians in special collections at Lehigh University. Lois, just to do a little biography here, you are from where originally?
Well, I grew up in Huntington, New York, and I attended Cornell University, where I first discovered rare books.
And you fell in love with them.
Yes.
So, and Alex, how about you? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Stamford, Connecticut. And then attended the University of Virginia and the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, for library school.
Ooh, big rivals in sports,
Not as much as UNC and Duke, maybe.
Yeah, right. And Ilan, you are from far away.
Yes, not that much, though, global world. I'm from Turkey, Izmir, Turkey. I went to schools there, and in the I got my master's degree from University of Pittsburgh, and I have been at Lehigh Special Collections. My mentor was Philip Metzger. He was the one who actually showed me some directions for rare books and archives.
And how long have you been at Lehigh?
too long. Since I believe 1999.
All right. And so how about Alex?
Since 2016.
Mm-hmm. And Lois?
2006.
Now, what can we say about South Bethlehem Collection?
Lois talked about regional alliances, especially with PEXCO from Philadelphia area. And in Lehigh University's location is in South Bethlehem, and we have been trying to create connections as well as collections to preserve Lehigh, South Bethlehem's cultural and artistic heritage. To do that, one of the most important initiatives was South Bethlehem Historical Society's archival collection. We transferred to Lehigh University, and it's been still maintained, and it's growing. But the society now only focusing on their other types of events, not worrying about their archives. Are they secure? Are they safe? Is the roof leaking at the Masonic Temple? And also we are in touch with a couple other art and cultural institutions in South Bethlehem, such as Godfrey Daniels Archives with the Lehigh alum, Dave Fryder, with his facilitating. We have been transferring the archives, sound archives, as well as posters and other types of archival documents to Lehigh University. We are, I believe it's safe to say, in touch, and we are talking with Touchstone Theater, again, Bill George, another Lehigh University graduate who gave his life to community theater, and we are trying to preserve these archives and also provide access. So one thing I need to make sure people understand, in Special Collections, our main goal is to find and identify important collections that are worth to save and preserve them and provide access. So you said, you know, new style, new types of librarians. The old, maybe traditional style was always gatekeeper, keep the collections, but never provide access or just pick and choose. Also, our collections are open to everybody, regardless of any kind of discrimination.
That's an interesting point, yes. And I do want to mention an interesting exhibit that I saw at Special Collections at Lehigh University, and that was on baseball. And you had that this past year. How long does an exhibit like that stay up?
Our exhibits normally last about 6 months. We do two a year. They operate roughly on the semester schedule. So our most recent past exhibit, the baseball exhibit called Batting Around America, was more about how baseball affected the culture of America, not just as a athletic sport, a game that's played, but a sport that influenced authors and artists to create new literary works about the sport and about America, the country itself.
Great topic for a university to handle, the cultural aspect of baseball. But it was a very interesting display, and you had it where you're located on the third floor. You had some materials about baseball, but also on other floors in the library.
Yeah, our exhibit space, our primary exhibit space, spans three floors. So Linderman Library as a whole has four floors. We have six display cases on the ground floor by the cafe that's there. two display cases on the first floor in the grand reading room, and one display case on the third floor that you mentioned in the room called the Bear Galleria. That display case on the third floor normally houses the part of the collection or the part of the exhibit that is either related to Lehigh or related to the local history. So in this case, for the baseball exhibit, that is where we put pictures and documents relating to baseball at Lehigh, either played by undergraduate students or donations from alumni related to baseball.
And Elon, you mentioned about this reaching out instead of having collections that you sort of keep to yourself as a librarian psychology, a way of approaching it. And I think that it's very important that you all have display cases that are on different floors in the library. Many people would not get past the first set floor, or is there a basement level below the first floor? Is that the cafe?
The ground level where the cafe
ground
is.
Level. Yeah. Many people might just be on those two floors and not see any of your materials if you didn't have those cases. So that's a great thing that you have. Exhibits, telling a story, educating the community. Is that what we've been talking about this whole time?
Yes, absolutely.
I love the telling a story because stories, people just love stories.
People love stories, but also the whole goal is educating the community. For example, baseball. And you are looking at a man who never played baseball in his life. I even learned with that by basically working and trying to help Alex and others to put this exhibit together. So we try to tell a story that something might be very simple, an object or a document might be very simple or might be very, very significant, but what does it mean for an average person to look at and understand that? We are in a university environment. Of course, we have professors, and we have people also walking from South Bethlehem too, who, just maybe middle school student, high school student, totally different intellectual and life experience levels. But when you put something in there, this has to make sense for everybody. So this is not an easy task. And again, we try to collect the materials very carefully and also try to reach out library community, not only inviting them if they can't come, but also we have social media too, believe it or not. And we have, like, for example, Facebook. And in the Facebook, some of the most active followers are Lehigh Valley community. They are educating us also. A couple ladies, they know more than we do. We tell, do you know what this building is? They immediately tell. They tell the location also. So these are good interactions.
Absolutely. And I think one of our most important messages today in Lehigh Valley Discourse is that you're reaching out to invite folks who are not in the Lehigh University community to come and to see these exhibits that you put on. You mentioned middle school students, high school students, people from town who simply want to learn something. I think that many people believe that if we're talking about a university library, well, that's for the students and the faculty and not necessarily for townies. But that's an important outreach that you're doing.
Yeah, actually, in this past summer, we had a day camp that was being hosted at Touchstone Theater, bring the children from that camp into Linderman Library to see both the exhibit, but of course it's a theater, so they were interested in other works we had, like Shakespeare. So we showed them some of the older editions of Shakespeare's work that we have also.
Great idea. The outreach. Classes and individual information sessions. What do we do with that topic?
We have a ongoing, systematic curricular activities with so many different. Lois, I believe, mentioned the English class using the first editions, comparing to Norton editions. We have a class, upcoming class, for example. One of my favorite classes is Land of Midnight Sun. So we bring books, especially with plates and maps from South Sea expeditions as well as polar expeditions also. Students are learning in the class environmental sciences, geology. However, what we show them, travel narratives and maps, how these maps have been put together, and they get really fascinated. So we learn from them too. So those are some public history classes we try to help students. There's a class now, this afternoon we are going to be helping. For example, they are trying to understand the business history of South Bethlehem. So we show students old Lehigh brown and white issues, the student newspaper. In there, there are advertisements, different kinds of businesses, eateries, bars, laundry, laundromats, and stationery stores, which are now all provided by Amazon. So these are the things they are learning. I mean, how 50 years ago, a Lehigh student living on campus, what kind of services and entertainment was available around them.
Talk about Amazon, it reminds me of the changes that bookshops and bookstores on campuses have undergone in the last decade, with students buying so many of their materials online nowadays, and that has been a big shakeup in that area, which is not your arena. But
it has impacted the rare book trade. If we need to identify copies of out-of-print books to support our curriculum at Lehigh, it has in many ways made that quest much easier to be able to just search a number of databases and find booksellers or individuals who have copies of elusive titles. In the old days, we were dependent upon word of mouth between antiquarian booksellers or else using simply catalogs. We talked about old analog access earlier. So imagine having to search dozens and dozens of booksellers' catalogs, whereas now with a few simple keystrokes, we can find that, let's say, 1942 edition of Euclid that we needed to complete to tell our story. Yes.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yes.
The ease that we have nowadays with the digital world that we're living in. Yes. Does now here and some notes that Ilhan passed on to me. He expects me to know that SC means special collections. Can you believe?
Library jargon. Yes.
The confidence that you have in me, Ilhan, is wonderful. So does special collections play a role to fulfill Lehigh's P2P strategic plan? What in the world is P2P?
P2P is Path to Prominence, Lehigh's new big campaign. It will actually be kick off is on this Thursday. And one of the most important component is to Lehigh, strengthen Lehigh's connections with the community. Like when we were talking about the classes we offer, we have a class every year and two classes actually with astronomy books, early astronomy books. And we bring from Copernicus to Newton to Galileo's. And this September 30th, Tuesday at 4 o'clock, we have a philosophy professor will be talking about Isaac Newton. And we will be bringing to that session Newton's Principia and manuscript page by Newton's handwriting on it.
Oh.
So we usually when we show these to students, we say this is as close as you can get to a genius, the most important mind, one of the most important minds ever lived on the earth. When you say that, they immediately their whole outlook change. But the professor will be talking about it September 30th at Lehigh Linderman Library at 4 o'clock.
All right. And that
October 30th.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. So that's one of the now, when you show a page from Newton with Newton's writing on it, is that on a screen that you're seeing a reproduction of it, or is it the book itself?
Both.
Both. Okay. So the students who are hearing this lecture on Newton will be able to see the book itself.
Yes.
And also, for reasons of showing the whole class at the same time on the screen, right? And Alex, is the screen part your part in this project?
That was actually done long before I got to Lehigh. They had an active, very active digitization program. I merely came on and helped continue that and keep building that. Lehigh has a collection of hundreds of letters and manuscript handwritten documents from various different political authors, political figures, artists in its collection, and all of those were digitized together and put online in the late 2000s. So those are available online to read. Some of them have been transcribed, and you can read them. Actually, for that 5x10 transcribe-a-thon I mentioned earlier, we were using handwritten letters between Alexander Hamilton and James Monroe. We tried to use those great letters from Hamilton, tie it in with the Broadway musical, because there's a lot of popular interest in that subject. But those are important historic documents that we have, and they're, you know, handwritten by some of the biggest names in American history.
Yeah, excellent. Well, guess what? Our time is up, folks. Goes quickly when you're having this much fun, huh? Talking about the old times and centuries past and what. Lois, would you give us again the, in case people would like to get in touch with Special Collections at Lehigh University?
Yes, please do contact us. You can reach us by phone at 610-758-4506 or send us an email at inspec@lehigh.edu, inspc@lehigh.edu. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. That was Lois Fisher-Black, who's curator of Special Collections, and my other guests, Ilhan Sitak, who is Archives and Special Collections Librarian, and Alex Jaffa, who is Digital Archivist. Thank you so much, folks, for coming over and chatting with us this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and best of luck with the future.
Thank you.
Should be enticed now to see what are your special collections are going to show for exhibits in the future. But the most important thing to me is, know, listeners, that you are welcome to go onto the Lehigh University campus. You don't need to be a professor or a student, and see some of these marvelous artifacts from the past.
Thank you. We hope to see you soon.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. This ends our session today with Lehigh Valley Discourse. Thanks to Neil Heaver for being our engineer. I'm John Pierce. Remember to be gentle with your neighbor.